and, you know, whether men, women, or children. And it was, I can't explain it in words, because it was beyond belief that our government wouldn't put any pressure on the state of Israel to stop that mad carnage in Gaza, and using our taxpayer money, you know, the money that we earn here, you know, and use those to actually promote and help the state of Israel in doing such genocidal wars continuously, and feeling helpless that we couldn't do anything. We wrote to Congress people, we demonstrated in the streets, we wrote to the president, we did everything we could do, and it was like, you know, talking to the deaf. That's probably the only action we could do, divestment in general, that could actually, we could see an actual impact on the ground for such action. In terms of, as I said, symbolically, but also economically, you know, because, you know, every day we delay the ships, this translates into thousands of dollars in losses. So, and at the same time, of course, since I'm an activist, not only for the Palestinian cause, but for environmental issues, and also I'm against police brutality and violence in general and wars, yeah, this is a very important reason for such protests, because of their heavy involvement in weapon and military arsenal transport.
Well, and if people are interested in following this movement to block the boat, you can follow them on Twitter. The hashtag is BlockTheBoatLA. That's BlockTheBoatLA for Los Angeles, where the current action is ongoing. I understand there is on this coming Monday a plan to block an Israeli ship, maybe this same Israeli ship, in Seattle, Washington, coming up on Monday the 27th.
There's one, may I add that there is one on the 25th in Oakland, in Northern California.
So one in Oakland and then coming up in Seattle. Again, I've been speaking with Ahlam Mutasib, who is one of the organizers of the Block the Boat action that is ongoing right now in Los Angeles at the Port of Long Beach. Ahlam, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much for hosting me.
This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO News.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Portland performance of Carla Lara, Thursday, October 23rd, from 7 to 10 p.m. Carla Lara, Honduran jazz singer, songwriter, and political activist, will be performing at Tabor Space, 5441 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. She is a working artist, journalist, and feminist, in a country where resistance in her artistic life has always been tied to political life in Central America. That's Carla Lara, Thursday, October 23rd, from 7 to 10 p.m. at Tabor Space in Portland. More information about this event can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tune in Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. for The Melting Pot, featuring DJs, producers, and electronic artists from around the globe. Win tickets and stay up on events each and every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on The Melting Pot, right here at 90.7 FM KBOO.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or radiocab.net.
What's up, everybody? This is Goddess and She, and you're tuning in to KBOO Portland. Holla at your girl.
Welcome to Out Loud, the Queer Culture Radio Show on KBOO Portland. My name is Carla, and tonight we're going to be featuring two interviews as part of the show this evening. In just a short while, we'll be welcoming Christian to the show, and Christian works with CAUSA Oregon, and they are the LGBT program coordinator, and we'll be hearing about CAUSA's work in Oregon in reference to one of the ballot measures that is on the ballot right now. And then later in the show, we're going to be speaking with Jen Burlton from the Transactive Gender Center, and we're going to be sharing some updates from Transactive Gender Center, as well as talking about the expansion of the Oregon Health Plan to include medical care for transition-related services that transgender people need, and those will soon be covered through the Oregon Health Plan. So we hope you'll stay tuned, and we'll be bringing those interviews to you in just a few moments. Now, first, I'd like to let you know how to connect with us online, that we'd love to hear from our listeners, and our email address is outloudradio@gmail.com. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. You can look for KBOO Out Loud. And again, we do post almost daily, but usually every couple of days on Facebook, and we are getting in the hang of the Twitter world, but hopefully you'll connect with us via social media if that is something that you do. Again, do a search for KBOO Out Loud on Facebook and on Twitter. Now, before we move to our first interview for this evening, we're going to take a short musical break. During the show this evening, we're going to be bringing you a couple of different songs celebrating changes and things that are going on in our communities today. And so our first musical break is from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, and this is dedicated to everyone working to change the world, which is the name of the song.
We'll be right back.
was Change the World from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. And that is dedicated to everyone who is working to change the world better for themselves. And again, we'll be featuring another Joan Jett song later in the show in just a few moments. Next, we're going to be speaking with... hopefully, we're going to be getting Christian on the phone with us. Causa, Oregon is... so basically, CAUSA is Oregon's statewide Latino immigrant rights group, and CAUSA works to defend and advance immigrant rights by coordinating with local, state, and national coalitions and allies. They are the largest Latino civil and human rights organization in the Pacific Northwest, and we're hoping that Christian will be joining us. Christian is the LGBT program coordinator with CAUSA, Oregon, and if you're not familiar with this organization, their website has a lot more information on it. It is CAUSA, that's spelled C-A-U-S-A, Oregon, and Oregon is spelled out, so causaoregon.org. They also have a blog, if that is more your style. That blog is causaoregon.blogspot.com. Now, CAUSA has been working on the local measure 88, which is on your ballot measure right now. And Christian, are you with us?
I am, yes.
And welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yes, you are very welcome. I was just letting listeners know, you know, some background information about CAUSA and sharing your website, but perhaps let our listeners know what is your role within CAUSA?
I am the program coordinator for the LGBT community. Since 2011, we started this program to support the Latinos, especially Latinos, LGBT immigrants, who face lots of identities, and we are supporting them that way.
Well, and your work is so important, and I'll even say life-saving for some individuals. And so a huge thank you for you personally, and also a huge thank you for the team. I know you work with a team of people back at the office, so a huge thank you to everyone who's doing this work. Let us know a little bit about the ballot measure that voters are considering.
Yes, the driver card measure 88 is on the ballots right now, and we are asking people to vote yes on it because this will allow for everyone to have a driver card. It's not the same as a driver's license. This driver card will allow everyone to have a permit to drive, nothing else but just to drive, and also to be able to have a car insurance. Because we know that many people, including our LGBT members of our LGBT community, may not have all the documentation required, and people need to drive anyways. Need to drive to school, to the doctor, to work, and we want everyone to be able to have access to a driver card and also a car insurance.
Okay.
By doing so, people also will have to go through, like any driver license, they will have to go through the DMV, pay their $60-some that I think the license cost, and go through a test, driving test, and also a reading test. And so this will allow everyone to have a safe experience on the road, knowing that everyone will have a driver card and car insurance.
And that is so important. And I know some folks have asked in my personal life, when I talk to my friends about these ballot measures, I know a common question that people have asked me about Measure 88 is how is the driver card going to be different from a driver's license? And I don't know the answer to that.
It will look just like a regular Oregon driver license. The very small difference is that we'll have a shorter expiration date of 4 years instead of 8. That will be the and also it's not marked federally, which will not allow people to get on a plane or buy an arm or anything. So it will be only to drive.
Okay. And did you, and just to clarify, so it is just to drive. I know that was a question someone had asked. So is the driver card going to allow someone to get on an airplane as a government issued ID? And you just clarified that's a no.
No, because since 2008, when the governor then took it away, it was to comply with the Federal ID Act, which, and so that was still remain the same.
Okay. And so can you talk a little bit more about how Measure 88 will impact or, you know, the LGBT community, or can you speak to, I mean, I know my personal reasons, but I want to hear from you how Measure 88 is important to the LGBT community.
Yes, this is something very important for us to keep in mind, that this is not an issue that affects others, affects our community. As I said before, we work with people who fit all these identities and they need our help. We were able, I'm very glad to be able to produce a video that is actually on our main page right now on causaoregon.org. Which talks, and also on Facebook and everywhere, but it talks, there are six stories of people from our LGBTQ community who talk why it's important for them, many affected personally and some because their family was affected, or I have a friend actually that really needed to take his mother to doctor's appointments because she had cancer, and every time he had to do that because he was the only one able to do it constantly. And he had to face, okay, do I drive without a driver license, or do I take my mom to have her cancer treatment? So that's why it really affects us.
Okay. So thank you for clarifying that. And I do want to say thank you. And I myself have seen the video on the website, and I really appreciate. And again, for folks that missed what Christian had just shared, their website is CAUSA, spelled CAUSA, Oregon, spelled out. So causaoregon.org. You can find a video about, it's a bunch of different gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender speaking, you know, transgender people speaking about why Measure 88 and the driver's card is important to them. And so I don't necessarily want to share those people's stories. I think it's important for folks to go hear the story firsthand. And that video for me personally was really powerful. And so I just want to say thanks to the team of folks that put that together, because that video really clarified a lot of the questions I had as part of my own voting process. And so I just thought that was helpful.
It's a powerful tool. And of course we thank the people in the video, they're all supporters, so also parts of our group, core group that meets every Tuesday. And then we were very thankful because that's the way people really can change minds and hearts through stories.
Absolutely. And especially like myself, hearing somebody telling their own story, that really had an impact. So listeners, if you're interested, or maybe you're undecided on Measure 88, I do encourage you to check out the causaoregon.org website, and that video can share some firsthand stories that may be helpful for you. Now, also, Christian, you just shared something about your Tuesday night meeting. So let folks know that there are meetings. CAUSA does meet here in Portland and then also in Salem. So if folks want to get involved, where and when can they find you?
Yes, with the CAUSA LGBT program that we have, we were able to also partner with other organizations and create LADO. It's a LADO coalition. It stands for Latinos Aliados de Oregon. And it's a great space. We are welcome allies. It's a great space for Latino immigrants, LGBTQ, and allies to come together and meet and talk about the issues that impact us, how we can solve them, and also to have fun and connect and support each other. We meet every Tuesday at 7 p.m. at the Q Center on Mississippi Avenue. So every Tuesday at 7 p.m., we have the Latino group.
Okay. And now for listeners down in Salem, for folks that don't know, but CAUSA does have an office down in Salem as well. And are there weekly meetings for people in that community that might want to connect face-to-face?
In Salem, we are meeting right now once a month. We've seen it more effective. And the best way to, we meet on Wednesdays once a month, and the best way to contact us and make sure that we're meeting that Wednesday is to probably email us at my email, for example, is christian@causaoregon.org. christian@causaoregon.org, or through our website, too.
Okay, that's great. Now, I know that CAUSA does a lot of different work in the community. Tonight, we've been focusing on the Measure 88 ballot initiative. But would you please let our listeners know some of the other ways that folks can get involved with you guys, or maybe some of the other things, some of the other programs that you guys have that happen year-round?
Yes, we are not just the Measure 88. We have a citizenship program that helps people who are eligible to become citizens with their paperwork, some of the fees. We have a civic engagement program that right now is working mostly on the campaign, but we'll always work with measures that affect our communities. We also have the affiliates program that people have an opportunity to engage more with our community. And, of course, the LGBT program. And we're always looking for interns, people who are interested. We believe in the power of the movement, so contact us and we'll make sure to plug you in some of our programs.
Wonderful. I know you guys have a lot going on, and yeah, it's election season, so we're all focused on folks voting, but I do want to make sure folks know CAUSA Oregon does a lot of work year-round, and they also show up at Pride and some of the other events, so you can meet them in person sometimes, too. Now,
yes.
Christian, we're starting to run out of time, but I do want to thank you for joining us this evening, and I want to give you an opportunity to share any other information that you wanted to share, or are there any closing thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Thank you so much for having me. So simply just to say again, to vote yes on 88, and keep supporting us and support the organization, and before and after this election, because our community needs it, and it's important for the LGBTQ community to support the immigrant movement and vice versa, because we, together we are more, we're more powerful.
Together we are stronger. That is true. So thank you so much, Christian, and please take our thanks back to your team back at the office, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Right on. All right. And listeners, again, if you'd like to connect with Christian, his email is christian@causaoregon.org. And again, their website is CAUSA, that's spelled CAUSA, causaoregon.org. Now, stay tuned, listeners. We're going to take a short musical break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes to speak with Jen Brolton from the Transactive Gender Center. This song that we're going to be hearing is also from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, and it's titled Androgynous.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Out Loud, the queer culture radio show on KBOO Portland. That song was titled Androgynous from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. And that's kind of a special song that I like to play when we are going to be talking about transgender related stuff, especially the children. And so that is going to be our focus, among other things, for the rest of the show this evening. And I'd like to welcome Jen Burlton back to the KBOO studios. Welcome back, Jen.
Hi, Carla. Glad to be back.
It's great to have you. And for folks that aren't familiar with the Transactive Gender Center, I want to give them their website just before we get into anything. What's your website?
Absolutely. It's transactiveonline.org. You can also call us at our office at 503-252-3000 or reach us by email at info@transactiveonline.org.
Great. Thank you so much. And I will admit, Transactive is one of my favorite local organizations, so I might lay on the mush tonight, but
I'll take it.
That's it. And for folks that don't know, this is an organization that works specifically with young people between the ages of birth and 18 and their parents.
Actually, it's 23.
Oh, excuse me, 23.
That's right, 23.
All right. So we're going to be talking about some of the changes at Transactive. They're all good. And some of the other things. But Transactive really does provide support to families. And it is about the children. But yes, the parents are very much involved, or the grandparents, or whatever the family model might be. But it is focusing on young people and gender stuff. But maybe let's start off by talking about, I keep calling you Transactive, but really the organization is Transactive Gender Center. Tell us about the name change.
Yeah, so as we continue to grow in the services that we were providing to families and children and youth, as well as the educational component of what we do, we realized that the scope of the original vision of Transactive was really expanding to meet need and demand. And the more we thought about it, the more we really wanted to make a shift in our internal and external identity that really sent a clear signal of what we were and what we do. And so we really are a gender center, specifically focused on gender nonconforming, gender fluid, gender diverse, transgender children and youth up to age 23 and their families. And that's included in that center is counseling services, full range, full scope counseling services. Certainly a very robust education program that we provide to a variety of entities in the community, and a multidisciplinary, an advocacy program that is really growing in the impact that we're having on helping people secure rights that may exist for them on paper, but may not always be offered in reality. And we're also participating in research with local universities on getting better data on what the lives of transgender children and youth and their families are like.
All right, that's exciting. And I think you have a lending library.
We have.
I was like, when you go in the office, there's a lot of books.
When you go in the office, we have a library of books. We desperately need to grow our library.
Okay.
But there are books there that parents, and we have a kids section, we have a adult or young adult section, and we really try to provide resources for the folks that they can read while they're visiting our office. And then we're also working on a model where they can take the books with them and bring them back and things like that.
Okay, so maybe not a full-on lending library, but that might be a little shout out if anybody has gender related or youth books that they could certainly contact you about, maybe donating them.
Yeah, we have a Amazon wish list.
Oh.
So if you go to Amazon, I haven't talked about it for a while, so I think if you just go to Amazon.com and you type in Transactive, that our wish list will come up, and look for a book on there that you might like to buy and donate to Transactive. We'll take if a used copy is available, we'll take that, save money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. And I do like to encourage folks to check out the website, because there's press releases. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff, you know, resources for schools, resources for parents, resources for young people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that your website is really loaded. And so, again, it's transactiveonline.org. So, and every once in a while you have an open house or you have events. And so the calendar's on there. So
we do. We just this past weekend, we had one of our events for families. We call them free zone events. Mm-hmm. And our fall event, as it has been for the past few years, we took families. Our families came and joined us out at the Pumpkin Patch in Corn Maze on Sovie Island.
Awesome.
And it's always a fun time. And wagon train rides and things like that. And the families kind of really get to connect in a very casual way. And the kids get to connect and lots of screaming and laughing. And it's good.
Right on. That sounds like a lot of fun. Did you have a caramel dapple?
I did not, but okay. I saw several kids that appeared to have had an unfortunate encounter with a caramel apple.
Okay, it's the season.
It was all over their face.
That's a beautiful thing. All right. So one of the reasons I wanted to connect with you was to get an update. Some big changes are brewing at the Oregon Health Plan.
Oh, yeah.
And for folks that aren't familiar with the name, the Oregon Health Plan is kind of my generic term for the state health insurance plan.
It's essentially state Medicaid.
Okay.
And it's Oregon's particular flavor version of that.
Okay. And so Transactive has been very, very involved over the last couple of years. And starting January 1st, something remarkable is happening.
It is. We were involved with our really allies and collaborators and partners at Basic Rights Oregon. Q Center was engaged and other folks played a really key role in this. Transactive, all of us together worked to essentially get us to the point where Oregon State Medicaid program covers the vast majority of transgender-related care beginning January 1st. The specific piece that Transactive's healthcare committee and staff worked on was securing coverage for pubertal suppression for transgender adolescents. This is probably the really first game-changing medical intervention that can really completely enhance the future quality of life for transgender kids. And unfortunately, because many third-party insurance companies don't cover it and aren't compelled to cover it under Oregon's insurance division statement, the out-of-pocket cost for families for pubertal suppression was simply out of reach. Oregon was the first state, thanks to our efforts, to actually add coverage for pubertal suppression.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, really big deal. I mean, we believe this is literally going to save lives of children.
Oh, that's what I wanted. There's two things I want to make sure listeners understand. One is, what is pubertal suppression all about? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. And then the second thing, how it impacts a young person's life to be able to suppress puberty, because of for many young people, and I'm really generalizing here, but for many young people who do not identify with their gender that was assigned at birth, the fear of puberty is terrifying. Oh. And knowing that their body's going to start to change in a way that they really, 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 really don't want. And that a lot of, well, not a lot, but there it does happen for some young people that self-harm starts to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
To the point of suicide for some young people. And it's puberty that is triggering the self-harming and the suicides and the spiral that I'm going to say is despair, but that's my interpretation. And so I know for many young people, having an option to not to approach puberty in a non-terrifying way, it's amazing.
Despair is really a very good way to put it.
Yeah,
it's the anxiety of the anticipation of these changes that are going to happen, particularly if you may be in a family that either cannot afford to provide this treatment option to you. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we've alleviated a great deal of that for many families with this coverage beginning January 1st, 2015. Mm-hmm. Or unfortunately for kids that may be in family or caregiver situations where the family is not supportive of the youth's gender expression and simply won't engage, we clearly see a spike in suicidal ideation, suicide attempts. We see it a lot in both transgender girls, and those are children that were assigned male at birth but have a female gender identity. We certainly see it in one of the interesting things that we see in transgender males, which are individuals that were assigned female at birth but identify as male, is that because our culture is more tolerant of tomboyishness, trans boys may do better prior to puberty, simply because they're kind of given more freedom of gender expression. But when those pubertal changes start to happen and their bodies start betraying them, and this is true for transgender girls too, the permanency of being locked into a physical vessel that simply does not reflect who you are, and in fact will enhance the degree to which people will discriminate against you, bully you, oppress you, can become too much to bear.
Heavy sigh. Yeah. And so, again, kudos to the Transactive team for really, really saving lives. I mean, just the services that you provide, but this medical care is so important. And again, Jen, this is Jen Burlton. If anybody's just joined the conversation, Jen Burlton is works with Transactive Gender Center. And my name is Carla. You're listening to Out Loud, the queer show on KBOO. And we're talking about the changes to the Oregon Health Plan, or the expansion of the Oregon Health Plan, that will be covering transition-related medical care. And I know when I say that transition-related medical care is vague to a lot of people, but what an individual person who is transgender, what they want to have happen to their body is as different as every single one of us.
Absolutely.
So it's not the same for everybody. There's a whole list of things that they might want, but if they're on the Oregon Health Plan, those services will now be covered.
Well,
most of them.
Absolutely. And I want to clarify something a little bit, is that it's not so much a matter of what they want. So it's not a sort of, gee, I'd like to have a souffle today. And I know that you didn't mean
Thank
that.
You for clarifying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It is considered medically necessary care by virtually every professional, medical, psychological organization in the world. So what is covered? So what's covered beginning January 1st will be gender-affirming hormone therapy. Some people refer to it as cross-sex hormone therapy, but we believe a more accurate term is gender-affirming hormone therapy. Certainly mental health care. And while being gender diverse or transgender is not and never has been a psychological disorder, certainly the distress and anxiety and low self-esteem that comes from societal rejection can lead people to need to seek professional counseling. But also there's another reason why trans people have to seek professional counseling. And that's because we still have a gatekeeper system that in order to access medical procedures, trans people have to get a psychological diagnosis to take to their medical provider, who will then provide carry-on services from there. So the new coverage will cover that. And the new coverage will also cover many procedures, medical surgical procedures, related to transgender care, such as top surgery, gender affirmation surgery or gender confirmation surgery. Checkups. Checkups that are related to, we have had situations in the past where trans men were denied coverage for a pap smear because the insurance company would essentially argue, well, men don't get pap smears. Trans women would be denied coverage for prostate exams because, well, women don't get prostate exams. So this will really cut through all of that. And there are several other procedures that it will also cover that are related to trans care specifically.
Mm-hmm. And so when we're talking about young people, and this is also one of the things that'll be covered January 1st, is when we talk about the puberty suppression medications for our young people, I want to make sure listeners know what that really entails. And so it is a hormonal medication. And I'm being vague because it really depends on the individual. But one thing I get feedback from community people when I talk about these things around, is it really appropriate? And I'm playing devil's advocate
Absolutely.
Here, so there's a little bit of sarcasm in my voice.
Yeah.
But is it really appropriate to be doing something to a young person's body when they're not old enough to decide? Yeah. Will you please answer that question?
Absolutely. So we believe that it's appropriate to provide treatment to youth that is going to save their lives.
Yes.
There is significant evidence, and in fact, there was a recent article that came out of a long-term study of the positive impact that pubertal suppression has on transgender adolescents that came out in the journal Pediatrics that showed essentially what we've known all along, but this kind of quantified it, showed that the transgender adolescents that go undergo pubertal suppression therapy do astronomically better than those who don't. And in fact, they perform in virtually every measurable way on the same baseline as non-transgender youth. So what is pubertal suppression therapy? Puberty suppression therapy really is not a hormone treatment so much as a, and again, I'm going to simplify it a little bit, but it is a treatment that sends a signal to the parts of the, to the glands in the body that produce the hormones that cause pubertal changes. And what that signal tells those glands is, don't do it. You're not there yet. And it puts puberty on hold, which essentially gives both the youth and their care providers more time to really kind of mature a little bit, to really confirm that this is who they are, how they feel, and that they want to proceed on to the next step, which is gender-affirming hormones. So they're usually on pubertal suppression therapy probably 2 years or so, 2 or 3 years at the most. It is not an indefinite course of treatment. And then they move on to gender-affirming hormones. We've never had a youth that transitioned, went on to pubertal suppression therapy, and then decided not to go on to gender-affirming hormone therapy. And the beauty of puberty suppression therapy is that if a kid does change their mind, and again, I want to reiterate, these kids don't. These kids know who they are every much as any non-transgender or cisgender, for that matter, kid would know. If they do change their mind, puberty suppression treatment is completely reversible. I want to repeat that. It is completely reversible. If the child, if the adolescent stops taking pubertal suppression treatment, they will, in a very short time, pick up puberty right where it would have been if they had... puberty will start. Let me rephrase that. It won't... It's not a time machine.
Right.
So they will, pubertal changes will commence. There will be no long-term negative impact on their medical well-being, on their bone density, any of that stuff. If they don't have the option to go on puberty suppression medication, what we do see in addition to the long-term or the short-term suicidal ideation and suicide attempts, what we see long-term are people that are trapped into bodies that they then will require additional surgical procedures to attempt to ameliorate or to make corrections or to adapt their body to a form that allows them to more successfully integrate in their society. And that's a big deal.
It really is. And a couple examples for folks that aren't familiar, like and I know most people know about puberty, but I just want to point out some of the things that are really hard to change. Someone who has XY or is a male identified at birth, say their Adam's apple, you know, that when a male body goes through a puberty, you know, the Adam's apple in their neck changes.
Right.
And that's really, really difficult to change through surgery.
It's very difficult to change, although it can be. The thing that cannot really be changed, I mean, there are some folks doing this successfully in South Korea, actually. But for the most part, voice changes cannot be changed.
Right.
I'll use my own voice as an example. So I transitioned relatively young. I transitioned when I was in my late teens. And I have been able to modify and adjust my voice much better than a lot of trans women are able to. That being said, this is not the voice that I would have had as a transgender girl if I had had the benefit of being on pubertal suppression. So imagine for those folks whose voices are very, very deep. And I also want to say this, Carla. You know, we live... I get into conversations with people all the time about, well, we should be fighting against these preconceived notions of what gender should be and what should be feminine traits and what should be masculine traits. And I am fully on board with that battle. But that is a parallel battle to providing direct services to kids who are suffering now.
Today.
So I definitely want to live in that world where we can all join hands and we can have 6'4" women with beards and deep voices, and we can have 5'2" men with smooth skin and high voices and breasts and hips and whatever else. I want to live in that world. But we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, our kids have an opportunity to have a more congruent gender experience today. And my only goal is serving these families, is making sure that opportunity is given to these kids and their families.
Right on. And I agree. We're on the same page. And so, listeners, we're going to take a short musical break, and we're going to be back in just a few moments to hear some more from Jen Burlton from the Transactive Gender Center. We're going to, that was a perfect segue around, you know, kids and how they're treated. The song we're going to listen to is from a group that is titled Artists Against Bullying, and the song is True Colors.
You with the sad eyes, don't be discouraged, oh, I realize it's hard to take courage.
In a world full of people, you can lose sight of it, and the darkness inside you makes you feel so small.
But I see a true color shining through. I see a true color. That's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show. Let them show.
Welcome back to Out Loud, the queer culture radio show. My name is Carla. That song was titled True Colors, and the group is called Artists Against Bullying. So thank you to Jen for bringing us that song this evening. And Jen, I'd like to continue the conversation. We were just talking about, you know, kind of the parallel worlds of the community standing together against bullying and supporting transgender young people, but also the importance of providing services and culturally competent medical care, like now. And starting January 1st, if you missed our earlier conversation, we were talking very in depth around the Oregon Health Plan, expanding services to cover transition-related health care starting January 1st, which is very exciting. I want to make sure listeners know there's a lot of other exciting things going on at the Transactive Gender Center. So where to begin with all this excitement?
Well, yeah, it's a very active time at TGC. We are currently serving slightly over 400 families in the Portland metro area and Oregon, which is astounding when you consider that when we actually opened our doors for the first time in 2010, as far as providing direct services, we closed out that year with about 6 clients.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're growing. We're expanding to meet that need. We've made some recent staff changes that were wonderful. We had great staff before, but as with any organization, people move on.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have Yukon Jenkins, who came on board about a year ago, has completely turned around our education program. And we're doing better quality training, more diverse training, for virtually anybody that needs more information about transgender issues related to children, youth, young adults. We also are really, really lucky to have added to our staff Kate Kaufman, who's a licensed professional counselor, and she is now running our counseling, client services counseling program, in which we provide full range, full service counseling, individual, couples, group, therapy, case management. So we work a lot with other organizations that are providing additional services to folks.
Right on. And I heard you're planning a big party in a couple weeks.
Well, we have our major event of every year. This will be our 7th annual Superheroes for Super Kids community event. And we are having it once again at this great venue, which is Refuge PDX, which is on the east side of the river. And this is our event. This is our opportunity for the whole community to come out and celebrate, have some great snacks. We're going to have some great speakers. We're going to certainly have great silent auction items. And by the way, if you own a business, if you own a company and you have any services that you would like to donate and have featured in front of some really awesome Portlanders that are going to be attending our event, we definitely would love to hear from you and have your event on the auction block for our silent auction. We're certainly looking for some great things, like trips would be great.
Maybe body work.
Body work, certainly body work, aesthetic services, getaways. You know, if you've got a rental property at the coast, a condo or something that you're not using and you want to make it available to us to auction off, this really helps us. This is our major fundraising event every year.
And so if listeners maybe want to volunteer at your event, do you need volunteers?
We do. People can always volunteer with Transactive, and we're always open to not only volunteers, but people who want to apply for internships in various programs. And they can do that by contacting us at volunteer@transactiveonline.org. We don't have our event webpage up yet. We're going to have that up probably in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
If you're interested in buying tickets for the event, the tickets will be $20 in advance, $25 at the door. And if you want to just send us an email and say, hey, I know the tickets aren't available yet, but when they are, let me know. Please do so.
Okay. And so I hate to say it, but we're running out of time. And so I want to say thank you so much for joining us this evening. Thanks for bringing us that True Colors song. That was nice. And any closing thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you, Carla, for another wonderful opportunity to come and just, you know, hang out with you. Mm-hmm. It's really getting to the point where it's just two chicks talking.
That's it.
And it's getting more and more fun. And Cabu's always been a great friend at Transactive. The thing I really want to leave folks with is the understanding that being transgender is not a condition. It is simply part of the diversity of life. And there are a certain number of kids who have always experienced their gender in a way different than the majority do. And there will always be a certain number of kids who do that. And what we together as Oregonians, as citizens, can do to work together and to work with Transactive is to create a world and a space that makes sure that these kids know that they're loved, they're wanted, they're affirmed, and that it is a safe space for them to educate themselves and grow into the adults that they're capable of being.
Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful. Thank you to all the Transactive team. I also just want to give a big shout out to all the parents out there. If you have any questions or if you have any concerns about your young person, please check out the website, transactiveonline.org. There's a lot of information that you can check out on the website. And then please utilize this community group to support your family. That's really what it's all about.
Bingo.
So, exactly. So thanks so much, Jen, for joining us.
You're welcome.
And listeners, thank you for being part of the conversation. We're going to go out with a song from Farron. And we picked this song. It has a lot of metaphors around change and personal things and really where is our personal identity located. At least that's my interpretation of the song. So we're going to leave you with a song from Farron. The song is titled Misty Mountain. Until next time, stay proud and live out loud.
Up above the misty mountain where wildflowers bind the ground, and down by the Russian River, force will wear those boulders down. Wildflowers bind the ground. Down by the Russian River, force will wear those boulders down. And me, I'm underneath my covers. And me, I'm trapped inside my brain. While up above the misty mountain, up above the Russian River, up above the bed of longing, the eagle takes the wind. It makes me think of this, my friend. Where does the eagle live in me? I am crawling through these cities. I say the cities will be my home. I say, Farron, you're halfway pretty. And may you never be alone. Be it scorn or be it favor. Be it but a moment gone. But I stood before the mirror, like an open-ended cavern, like a breath held, inhaled, holding, and I barely knew my name. It makes me think of this, my friend. Where do I live in me? It's a planet of resistance. It's a whirling flame of choice. Are you my comrades in persistence? I swear they'll know us by our voice. Though we lay down in dusty corners, we are ragged as a scar. And when we rest, our eyes stay open. We're always off to war. It makes me think of this, my friend. Where can the quiet be?
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM.